Uncensored Radio Real Talk Roundtable. Real life, real laughs, real talk.
Well, hello everyone out there in using our uncensored world. Welcome to the roundtable. It's been a very hot minute since we've pulled up our chairs to the big red table of discussion, and even longer since Miss Katie McCarthy's joined us. Hey, Katie, how you doing, girl?
Hey, girl.
She here? She ready?
Just giving you guys a nice view of my pussy.
Oh, it's always nice to have a puss on screen, isn't it? And, of course, as always, I have the vivacious Vera with me too. She's here, ready to go. And this is just a bit of a random roundtable, but it's random M-words.
Oh, okay.
Oh, dear.
Every topic we discuss today, they're only going to be short little snippets, is an M-word. So the first one we're going to go to a video, and I would like you to watch, and then we're going to share our opinions in a minute.
Hey, bro. So I live in the blue house. I'm two doors down on the left side. And I've noticed on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and sometimes Fridays, when you leave for work, there's a, I think it's a Cavalier, like a red Cavalier, little four-door sedan that shows up here. And the car's here for like a couple hours on those days, like right after you leave. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's a, like they're not supposed to be here, but again, I don't want to make assumptions on that. But I feel like your girl's cheating on you or is doing something funny. So, yeah, I don't want this to get it back to her because I don't want to make it awkward in the neighborhood, but I just thought I'd let you know. And if you want more details about it or anything, just come over. I'm not going to text you or call you about it, but I'm in the blue house. I'm just down there on the left side.
Courtesy of the Ring doorbell, which has a lot to answer for in this day and age. So this is the morality question. What would you do if you discovered your neighbor?
Seriously, it could be anything. I mean, before
school. It could be childcare. It could be housekeeping. Childcare,
it could be child therapy. Like, before school started, my child had a therapist coming over 2-3 times a week for a couple hours. So, like, yeah. You know, my husband or my kids getting occupational and speech therapy. So, it's kind of up to you.
What the hell's wrong with dude's life that he has to watch his house for 6 hours a day or 8 hours a day? What the fuck? Mind your own damn business. You know, if you're there concerned, catch the guy mowing his lawn. Don't ring doorbell him.
It is a little weird that the neighbor pays that much attention. And granted, maybe the wife is cheating. But, like, I don't know. Something about that just rubs me the wrong way.
It's a weird situation because...
If there was a Cavalier in the driveway, the Ring doorbell would have picked it up.
Right.
But maybe they don't park in the driveway. Maybe they park a little, like they park at the front of the house where it can't be seen.
But those doorbells pick up a lot.
Yeah.
They do, but if you live in the house and you're not being truthful, you kind of know where that doorbell picks up to, and you can tell people, oh, don't park in front of the tree. Park behind the tree.
Okay. Well, this is true. Well, I guess then it comes down to, well, I know what's going on 3 days a week around that time, so I'm not concerned. Now I'm going to tell this guy to mind his business. Or I'm going to start asking my neighbor, well, one, why are you watching my house that much? But then two, yeah. I'm going to go ask my partner, what the fuck are you doing?
Do you think you've
piqued our neighbor's attention, so let's do it.
Obviously, it's a morality question because obviously something's happening enough for this guy to notice it. Because I don't know, like I think back in the day, you were a bit more knowledgeable about, you know, whose car belonged to who and all that kind of stuff, and who was your neighbors and who were your neighbor's friends, and fit, like, you knew that kind of stuff, especially growing up in like suburbia. But in this day and age, I don't, communities aren't that connected anymore, are they? Like,
I know my neighbor to my right and my neighbor to my left. I can pick out their cars. I can pick out their daughter-in-law's car. I know what, you know, I know this side of the house and this side of the house. After that, they're just weirdos on my street. You know?
That's a great beyond.
Neighbor across the street and the next house down. But anything after that is very, like, I don't know.
Why are you watching somebody else's house?
But I remember growing up, we used to know everyone within, like, viewing distance of our house. You knew everyone's name, you knew who lived there, and like, if you needed to go there for help or something like that, you could go there, because that's the kind of relationship that, again, in suburbia in the 80s/90s.
Yeah, well, I think our neighbors are friendly enough. If there really was a situation and my kids ran down the street, even if they didn't know them, I think they genuinely would help them, but I don't know anything about them.
Exactly.
Well, when Matthias was here and Matthias played with the kids down the street, we knew those families.
Mm-hmm.
But those kids are all grown up. The parents have moved on. There's new people down there. I don't know those people, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm not paying attention to when they come and go.
Yeah. I guess your world gets exponentially smaller as you get older, because, right. you get in your bubble.
I mean, I guess I knew when my neighbor next to me, her husband was ill for a while, so I knew when the nurse was coming and going, because that correlated with our bus times, so I tried to stay out of her way. But that's the only reason I knew it. If I wasn't going out there for the bus...
Mm-hmm. And that's this is what I'm saying. So something is happening regularly enough with enough, attention to it that this guy, not across, down the street, is noticing it. So it's got to be something like, you notice patterns, like that's the kind of thing we've all been told, monitor your surroundings and notice strange cars and kind of stuff.
Even though
we get into strange cars nowadays, but, you know, they deliver us food and all that kind of stuff. That's another story. But the question is one of morality. If the neighbor, it's tricky because, you know, he obviously doesn't know them that well because he doesn't know his name. This is like dude, bro.
Right, yeah. They're not close.
It's hard for him to comment on their relationship because you don't know. Like, I don't know.
I would think if he's feeling emboldened enough to speak to a Ring doorbell, which she could see, and he's got to know that. He's got to know. Well, anyone could watch it. And maybe that's what he's aiming for, is like, you know.
I was about to say. Maybe she's putting her on blast and be like, girl, I see you.
Like, we see something going on. But let's just say for a second he's assuming that maybe she's not going to see it. Why, if he's feeling bold enough to go up to the doorbell and, like, spill his guts, why not just go up to her and say, you know, is everything
okay? And why is it 13 in the morning?
But that could just be that weird crossover time. You've worked shift work, I'm sure, Vera, and been, like, coming while other people are going, and he's obviously home during the daytime, so he's a night worker because he sees this happen three times a week is a lot.
It is, and that's why it's worth a conversation if you're that concerned.
And congratulations if you're getting it three times a week. Like, more power to.
I don't know, man. That seems like a lot of work.
That's a lot of effort. So,
that's a lot of
effort. Stay at home wife, obviously. Like,
hours at a time, multiple times a week.
6 hours, didn't he say at one point?
That's crazy.
That's a lot. That's a freaking lie.
But
I'd say if you're not going to talk to these people about your concerns, mind your business.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I think he's doing it, and this is something else I was going to say. He's trying to do it the non-confrontational way by, you know, like we all do. I'll just leave a voice message. Oh, I'll just text, because how obtrusive is it when someone calls you? You're like, oh, don't call me. Don't call me on this. Don't call me on this thing designed to call and talk to people. That's so rude.
My parents
are
adults, and we're like, I'll just text them. I don't want to talk. And then it rings. Oh God, it's ringing.
I was watching a TikTok about, like, you know, kids today, and they think it's rude to just go up and knock on someone's door without texting them first.
No, I could kind of see that, because I feel kind of weird walking up to a door if they know I'm coming, but, like, I don't give my heads up.
Back in the day, didn't we all just go across the street?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Back in the day, you just used to go.
Sidewalk and say, Kenny, come out.
I know.
Not even, we, like, our street was so comfortable with each other, we didn't even knock. We're like, hello, we're coming in. It's like, okay, cool. Everyone's just walking through each other's houses.
I never felt that comfortable with my neighbors. I always knocked, but I do have
Australia
friends. I would stand on the sidewalk and yell at their bedroom window.
Just screech. Just screech.
Come down.
So we're talking about, you know, going, oh, that's a bit weird, and, you know, whatever, whatever. But if something sinister were to happen, isn't this the kind of neighbor you'd want? That go, I noticed
or,
that.
Or, I had or, the feeling like the neighbor was sinister. I thought the neighbor's behavior was creepy.
There it is. Or the neighbor is setting her up.
Yeah.
And the neighbor's got ill intentions. Or maybe the neighbor. or plot twist. The neighbor is
the guy. The guy in the cavalier. Whoa.
And he's just feeling guilty now.
Mm-hmm. That is some desperate housewife shit.
He got jilted, so he's blowing up their marriage.
Yeah, he's got it. But
figured it all out.
We hear about it all the time. So-and-so down the street lives by themselves. Oh, we haven't seen them for a couple of weeks/months. Oh, their lawn's all overgrown. Their mail's everywhere. What's that smell? I would hope. That if something like that were to happen, or, you know, like someone broke in and I was attacked or something like that, that your neighbors would step in and step forward. Because Luke and I were talking about it. There's this bystander kind of vibe going on. Oh, someone else will do it. Someone else will call. Yeah. Someone else will reach out for help. Someone else will do it. But if it's not your neighbors, then who else is it? If you don't, what if you live in a town where you don't know anyone, a small town, don't know anyone, no family, nothing like that. If you fall and break your leg and you can't, like, you would hope after a day or two, your neighbor would be like, are you alive?
Well, I am Dia on the other side.
Yeah. You hear a thump, you're like, she's down.
The neighbor who lives in Katie's grandparents' house, I've known for years and years and years.
Just army crawl over to the wall. Yeah, I'm falling in. Yeah, get up.
You don't even need to call. You don't even need to call Dee. You just pop the wine bottle, don't you? And she's like, I'm here. Dee comes running. Ding, I'm ready. I think it's... It's kind of the double-edged sword of the modern world. We want everyone to mind their business until it benefits us, right?
I see what you're saying.
You know what?
Yeah.
If you don't know the guy's name, if you have to talk to his Ring doorbell, then you're not close to that guy.
I just think
altruism is dead. Let his wife keep cheating.
If you are that concerned, if something that bad is going on, then I think it warrants a conversation face to face
instead of
the Ring doorbell. Or I'm going to assume you are the guy in the Red Cavalier, period.
It's just so, like, again, we never know what goes on behind closed doors. That's how, you know, that's how abuse happens and stuff like, you know, it happens behind closed doors. You don't know what happens in your neighbor's house unless you hear it or see it.
Mm-hmm.
he's seeing something. Not saying that it's abuse, but he's seeing something that's going, ooh, ding, ding. So interesting. We'd love to know the viewers' thoughts. Moral overstep or mighty concerned neighbor? You tell us.
Do we have any comments on that?
Oh, I didn't look on the comments. I just thought let's post it to the people and see what they say.
Okay.
So we're gonna move on to our next M word. Marriage.
I'm out.
So marriage and moms.
Marriage.
More specifically, marriage and mother-in-laws. Now this one comes from the ever giving, ever popular Am I the Asshole thread on Reddit.
I love that thread.
And concerns a newly, you know, a couple that are going to take the next step. So here's a little bit of the story. We've both expressed that we'd be perfectly happy doing something small, minimalistic ring, small proposal, and a small wedding ceremony would be great, she wrote. He asked me if I cared about what kind of ring we'd get for our wedding. I said it didn't matter to me, as it was just for the sentiment and not for the value of the item. All I ask is that the proposal is something special because it's once in a lifetime. Okay, cool. Fair enough, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is where things got a little bit twisted. However, his mother showed up at our house unannounced while he's at work with two ring boxes. Okay, apparently, when I see the ring,
she's the asshole. Yeah. Not the storyteller. Mother-in-law is the asshole. Just stop right there.
when I said the rings didn't matter, he thought that it meant he could just forego choosing the ring entirely and just have his mother choose them.
Oh,
he sent his mother a picture of the approximate style. Yeah, no, approximate style that he wanted, and she took the liberty of picking both the final products for the proposal ring and the wedding ring without ever consulting him. He never even followed up to check what she was picking before decisions were finalized.
No, dude. He's the asshole.
Yeah, well, it gets better. Oh, and just to make matters worse, she even scrapped his plans to do a special proposal just because of her excitement got the better of her, and that's why she showed up at the house while my boyfriend wasn't there.
Yeah, it's the boyfriend and the mother-in-law.
It's a no from me. It's going to be a no from me.
Yeah.
You're not getting
that's, that is some Jane Fonda monster-in-law kind of moment. Yeah.
That's nice that she was excited. No, that's not monster law
shit.
That's Norman Bates shit.
Yeah.
Let's get out.
But this is the thing. I think it could be another case of, you know, an M word, a very big miscommunication, because this mother obviously will do anything her son asks her. Mummy's boy.
And that's concerning.
That is concerning, but she could have been doing this with good intention. I don't think it doesn't say that he told her that he wanted to do a special proposal or anything like that. It sounds like he goes, just get a ring.
Listen, anytime wedding rings are being talked about, there's going to be a proposal. She's not stupid.
Right.
I understand that, but...
I think it's the son though.
I think, like, if you want to marry someone, you can be picking that ring, bro. You should, like,
it's one thing to watch your mother's input after
it was a once in a lifetime.
You know, like, hey mom, what do you think of this ring I picked out for so and so? That's one thing.
Yeah.
But the way he would, no, I'd leave. I'd be done. Like, no, this isn't for me.
It is a bit of a strange fight.
He said this is going to be a once in a lifetime event. Make the event special. And mom shows up.
Yeah, see, the cats are saying no to it. They're like,
Yeah, the cats are out. The cats are out. Cats, they've had it.
They said no. They're making a run for it like she should.
I really question.
I question the
communication in that relationship though, because obviously she said, and this is probably poor wording as well, I don't care. Because you but do she care also said at the end of the special. Day. Mm. Yeah, the engagement. So she said, yeah, but she said she didn't care about the ring. So he got mum to get the ring. But we don't know that he told mum that he, like, that she was, like, not to show her or anything. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of miscommunication going on there.
That's
what when it should really involve, it should involve two people, not three, like, unless it's like an event and, you know, like,
well, who brought
look at all these people getting proposed at Taylor Swift, the son. That's the problem. That's the problem. Because
we're going to have to go back to that.
Yeah, the son is the asshole.
People are getting engaged at Taylor Swift in a love story. Have you not seen the TikTok? It's on TikTok. Now to the ground and pull that. So everyone's
filming. I'm not on the Taylor side of TikTok, but
I need you to film it. Like, there's so many proposals.
There are.
But, good on you. Like, good on the people that are getting proposed to. But yeah, I think this is where you, especially if you've been with your partner for a fair few years before you're getting engaged, they should know your expectations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if she says I want a once in a lifetime moment for my proposal, then you're that kind of person. She's obviously got romance, like she has a romantic yearning. Kind of, she's not just like, oh yeah, let's go down to City Hall and whack a ring on it, signs the paper, we're done. Which is fine. That works great for some people. Yeah. She wants the moment. She wants the hullabaloo.
If I remember correctly. She just said she doesn't care about the value of the ring.
Yeah, there's a difference between not wanting a big-ass diamond versus a mother-in-law proposing to you.
Right.
That's a huge difference. And what he's doing, it's weaponizing confidence. He's blaming his dumbass misunderstandings of what she wants on, I just didn't understand what you said.
I think he didn't listen. Yeah.
No, I don't think that's what I'm saying. I don't think he listened. Then mum's picked up the ball when she should have gone, I can help you, but I'm not going to pick it out. You know what I mean? Like, enable your child, your adult child, to be an adult. Go, I will help you, but I'm not making the decision because at the end of the day, you're marrying this woman, not me.
No, I think she's fully part of it. She enables him, and she's clearly got boundary issues. If she she's so excited that she runs over to show the rings, clearly, you know, if someone's thinking about proposing, it's a surprise and you've done your part, now stay out of it. No, absolutely.
Yeah,
not.
I feel like that there needs to be a little bit more information.
The information is, when did she leave and how quickly? That's what I need to know.
I'm not saying she shouldn't give him a second chance, but I'm saying she's not the asshole for getting pissed.
No, she's not the asshole for getting pissed. I'm saying she should absolutely not give him a second chance because that mother-in-law will intrude on their lives.
Apparently he was angry for being misled by her, what she said.
She said she didn't care about the value.
No, yes. Red flag.
Leave.
No second chances.
At the end of her post says, it'd be a waste of money to want new rings, but am I the asshole for wanting these replaced?
You're the asshole if you stay.
Yeah, he's clearly not willing to put any effort into this at all.
Because you're going to spend a whole lot of money divorcing his dumb ass in a few years.
Exactly. This is the conversation I feel like I have on this show, any show that we're on this bloody network of ours. Don't get married just because you think you have to.
Right.
And this is
like,
coming from
I don't understand.
Like, you don't
have to. You and I are the only ones that are still single, too.
Well, this is what I'm saying. I'm saying I'm someone who's been married. I've been married for a long time now. And I tell people, don't get married just because you feel like you have to.
Right.
And I'll look at me like, well, are you happy in your marriage? No, not necessarily. I mean, it's not always great, but like, it's just something that you don't. Like, that was a personal choice. If I had said,
a choice,
if I had said to, you know, my husband, I want a life with you, I don't necessarily want to get married, I think we still would have had this life together.
Yeah, it's exactly.
It's just a personal choice. If you feel,
but I just find it, I find it really strange in this day and age of, you know, like, we're all empowered to be our own individual selves and da 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 da, that this ring still matters so much to people. And the idea of having a husband or a wife or a part, like, life partner is so
I hardly wear my
powerful ring. To some people.
It's funny, like, I've been married for 10 plus years. I hardly wear my ring anymore. And it's not that I'm trying to, like, not act married. It's just like, I just, sometimes I'll put it on, sometimes I won't. Sometimes I'm doing something messy that day and I don't want to ruin my rings, or some days I just forget to do it. Not necessarily, like, it's a ring. It's not the whole marriage. It is a ring. It's a piece of jewelry. Yes, it means a lot. Yes, that ceremony was significant, but it's a ring. If I lost it, yes, I would be sad. Of course I would be sad. But again, just because you lose the ring doesn't mean you lose the marriage.
In the end, it's just a confirmation of commitment.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Yep, and you can do that without being married. You can do that without the big wedding. You can do that without the...
Without a piece of paper. You can... Two people decide that that's what they want to do, so that's what they want to do. I just don't understand. I see it even, like... I can't really say it. I'm the only person in my entire friend group that isn't married.
Same.
Or engaged. Like, that's fair enough. And that's fair enough. Like, whatever. But... when I look at my nephews and nieces, they're like in their 20s. They get like, to their credit, they like had kids like, oh, we want our kids to have the same last names and all that kind of stuff. And we want to have that nuclear family kind of thing. So they made a choice to get married.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They didn't go.
Don't have the same last name. Like the kids
exactly,
have the same last name, but the wife doesn't have
but
the
same last name. But they, for them, that's what mattered.
D is not Baylor.
For them, for them, that's what mattered. They wanted that, you know, that significance, and that's cool. That works for them, and they're married, and that's all good. And then you see people that have been in a relationship for 10 plus years, then they get engaged. I'm like, do you need to? I don't get it. Personal preference. I don't know that you need to, like, double down on the commitment. You're like, if you've been together for 10 years, you've been together for 10 years, like.
Well, some of the most committed couples have never married.
Like,
look at Goldie and Kurt. Goldie and Kurt.
Love Goldie and Kurt. They make beautiful babies.
You know?
Exactly. Well, it's just a very, marriage is a very, the one. The one. The other ones are the daddy, but that's okay.
He's very pretty. Anyways.
Kurt raised some good kids. He did a good job.
He did.
It's just,
I feel like the people who, like, do what you said are been together, like, what, 10 plus years or more, and then they give into peer pressure. That's what I feel like it is. And
I do have friends who married because of health insurance.
That's a very valid... Listen,
that's a valid
choice.
Valid as hell.
Yeah. Do you know what else is a valid reason to get married? A green card.
I've been trying, Steve.
I'm trying.
Gotta stop putting this out on the internet.
No one's coming looking for me. I'm too old these days. Everyone thinks I'm at that age that they think they can marry me for money. I'm like, oh, baby, no. You got a rude shot coming.
If I'm your sugar daddy, you gotta work harder.
You're gonna need some fucking insulin and stuff because it's not happening for you, girl. It's not happening. All right. Speaking of marriage and families and money, there's a little bit of an interesting article that I want to show you guys, and I've just lost it. So we'll pause here for a second because I had it up 2 seconds ago, and it disappeared. I was ready for it. You know when you accidentally flick the, you accidentally refresh, and it goes. That's all right. We can cut this out. The joys of a pre-record.
Damn, Vera. The insurance that you had got me. She's like, kill shot.
How have you been, Katie? We haven't been on air in a bit.
I know. I missed you. It's been.
I know. I miss you too.
It's insane.
I can't remember what it was now.
Watch a scary movie with us.
She's too skilled.
Skilled.
You could have handled my fun with me and Steve, even though we were holding each other's hand though. Oh,
oh,
I might have gone and watched the entire movie like this.
It was just getting a little tense.
The last time I went on a date to a scary movie, I watched the movie like this.
And what movie was that?
Dracula. Yeah.
Ooh. Good choice. Good choice.
That was good choice. Oh, sorry.
Did you find it?
Hold, please.
Can we talk about how
I'm gonna find
Sam Rockwell looks? I mean, that man. He's aging.
He's so amazing. Nice. He looks amazing. Mwah.
Mm-hmm. Just aging beautifully. So
speaking of aging beautifully, Josh Charles, man, he doesn't look that different from when he made that movie for the Babysitter movie.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. It's like, wow.
Okay, I found it.
Yay!
Yay!
All right.
I'm right on top of that segue.
Road. We will segue. So there's a story that has, you know, been popping around for a little while about, you know, marriage, money, family, all the good things, and it's popped up again. Shaquille O'Neal has famously said that his kids are getting none of his $400 million
fortune.
Inheritance.
No, okay, wealth. Yeah.
When he
wealth.
Died.
No inheritance. He says, and they question, he says, I'm rich. You're not rich.
Oh, there's other celebrities.
Do you? What do we think about that?
I don't think there's
money is the root of all evil.
Yeah.
So let's discuss. I mean, if your children are raised with an expectation that they don't have to work, they're not gonna. You know, I think he probably going to leave them something, but now they know that they have to make their own way in the world. No, I mean, it could be a character building exercise.
The worst thing you can do for, I think, for a child is to not give them a sense of their own self-worth when it comes to putting in effort and work. Because I've noticed it where I'm working at the moment, that, you know, when the boss is around, I'm working hard on whatever. Then when it's me, because I'm not the boss, I'm just a casual. I'm just a blow in, do 6 hours a week, walk out kind of person. And the difference in productivity, in you know, actual work being done, is hugely different. And I have this conversation with my boss a lot because I'm like, this thing never stops for me. Like, it's constantly going off about something, whether it be the podcast, dance studio stuff,
right,
ghost hunting stuff, whatever, all that kind of stuff. It's constantly going off. And we're allowed to have our phones on us at work, because we can access stuff via an app. So we're allowed to have it. So my girl, I'm so sorry. She's like, look, I really don't mind, because all of your work's done. Like, you're doing, you're greeting customers, you're doing sales. So if that's there and there's no one around and you've done everything, that's cool. But, like, so the other day, my coworker spent a good, I'm going to say that over an hour, not working when he was there for 5 hours. Ooh. They were there for 5 hours. And I'm like, I was there in the morning. I hustled my bustle. There was heaps to do, so I got it done. And then this person comes in and barely does anything before I leave. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. I think you should work like someone's watching, even if they're not, right? That's the way I was raised. You go to work to go to work. You don't go to work to.
You're not getting paid to sit around.
Yeah, no. And if I've done all my work, then yes, they can pay me to stand around. That's cool. But I'm not going to do it at the detriment of the business that's paying me.
Well, my work is pretty unique in that there exactly. are times in my day that are really, really busy and I am hauling ass for 2.5 hours, and then there's going to be a lull where there's nothing to do. You know, if my paperwork's done and all the patient business is attended to and the phone's not ringing, I will go on my phone, you know? And that's, I'm not intentionally shirking. I'm not shirking any work responsibility. I'm just monitoring the office until something needs my attention. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that there's a difference between that. But sending your child out into the world knowing that to survive, to, you know, feed themselves, clothe themselves, etc., they have to put in work is, I think, one of the most important things parents can do. Now, having that being said, I have fallen flat on my ass many times, as you do mm-hmm. when you were a young person. You know, adulting is hard, as they say. And it's lovely to you know, have that backup system of someone that can go, do you need to borrow this? Do you need this? I can do this for you if you need this. I get where he's coming from, especially that amount of money. Mm-hmm. These kids have probably never wanted for anything in their life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the world is very different for children. As opposed to a child and an adult. I can't speak. And an adult. My God.
I've known three trust fund babies in my lifetime. Three different kids raised on trust funds. And no matter what they do, I mean, it's not like they keep a dirty house. It's not like they don't know how to take care of themselves. They do not have an ounce of hustle. You know? They may look for a job, but there's no rush. You know, they may have a job, but they won't stay in a job that they don't love because they have a trust fund. You know, if they don't want to work before 10 o'clock in the morning, they're not going to look for a job that requires them to be there at 8. You know, they're just not going to, they have no hustle, period.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I guess that comes from, and look, I'm guilty of that because I have so many jobs that when I look for something, you know, casual, I don't want to be there at 8 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock at night and then go and work another 5 hours, 5.5 hours teaching. Like, that's not what I wanted. It's not what unless I have to do it, you know. I'm very lucky.
I'm talking about people who have to work.
Yeah. They have Yeah, I'm very lucky that, you know, my job is something that I care about, that is creative, that I'm passionate about, and it can afford me the luxury of not having to work a 9-to-5 as well as. So that it's not the same thing, but it's nice to have that option, because I would hate to think, you know, I wouldn't be able to do everything that I do if I had to work a 9-to-5 5 days a week.
Right.
It just wouldn't happen. I struggle now. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I can't imagine, you know, sitting at a desk 9-to-5, not being able to, you know, look at a phone and answer 700 questions for 8,000 people. It's like, okay, cool. But I've got to say, if someone said, if all of a sudden I was, you know, part of a $400 million inheritance, I'd be dropping like a, I'm like.
Yeah.
You know that, you know, the TikTok that's making the rounds now? The TikTok's making, if I won the lottery, I wouldn't tell anyone, but there would be signs.
Yeah.
That would be me. I'd be like, it's not a beach in Hawaii going, what, this is natural. Yeah. I'm always here.
I'm always here.
What are you talking about?
I save for this.
It would just, yeah, I would, it would be, I think we could all agree that, you know, a little nepotism would be lovely. A little like movie inheritance that yeah. comes out of nowhere. People don't inherit, you know, large amounts of money from strange aunts and uncles that live in gothic castles anymore.
No.
I feel like, where? Why? I could go stay in a haunted house for $1 million. Let's go. I want that You're kind of life.
Great, man. Great, great granddaughter of the Countess of Brussels and Pierce.
Yeah, Fartenstock. Fartenstock. They have all this impressionistic art from the French and I don't know how they got it, but here you go. Enjoy the Nazi gold as well. It's like, oh, okay. Thank you. It's a secret. But good on him. I think good on him.
I agree.
Or,
I think he's good.
But let's be honest, if one of those kids were to fall flat on their ass, they're never going to be homeless. They're never going to be hungry. Yeah,
they're ever going to be homeless.
But that's the same with my kids. I don't have... Okay, so maybe I'm just as rich as Shaq, and I'm just not telling you guys this, but... Okay.
Katie, stop.
I've got that money. I mean, look at me. Roll with it.
You've got two. You got
childs back there.
There's some two. I see two pussies running around.
Yes, I'm rolling.
Not one.
But okay, so maybe I'm not as rich as Shaquille O'Neal. But if my kids fell flat on their ass, they could always come home.
Yeah,
they could always come home. I think any kid
could come home.
That's never not going to be an option for that.
Well, not any kid. There's some people who can't go home. There's some people that don't want to be at home already. Like,
all right.
No, I'm just saying personally for me, my kids will always have that option. If they fall flat on their ass, they can come home to mama.
Yeah, and that's very reassuring because I've done it. You know, like I did the strike. I've lived quite successfully by myself for. Really 10 years. And then I went, you know, tried the big city and then came home and went, oh, mental health, not doing well, or must do something, help.
Yeah.
And then, you know, both of my parents, to their credit, went, come home.
Yeah.
Right.
Doesn't matter.
Yep.
Doesn't matter. Come home. It's not a failure. It's not anything like that. It's it's just come home and we'll sort do the next step.
Yep, I'd be saying.
And that's all. Yeah, that's all you can hope for. I think, especially for any, and even if it's not family, there's always hopefully someone in your life that you can go. Everyone needs that soft place to land, and sometimes it's friends, sometimes it's family. But having that safety, it would be a terrifying way to live. Going, I have no one and nothing, and you know. Paycheck to, which, you know, it's still, and it's gonna be this way, paycheck to paycheck. All it takes is, you know, a few dodgy weeks at work for a lot of people to be really, really suffering, especially in this economy with the way that things are going here, especially in Australia. Like, I don't understand how people are still managing to pay mortgages and raise their children and do all that kind of stuff. But going back to the first story, that's where you need your neighbors, your community, your friends to, like, even if it's not a financial help, if it's just a, oh my God, I'm just going to go and talk to my neighbor and just de-stress and blah, you know, come over for a coffee, have a wine, do whatever. That sense of all going through it together is something that helps you get through the day. When you at the end of the, I mean, look at the conversations that we've had off air. It's like some of the stuff you're like, oh my God, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, okay. 3 hours later, we're sitting here going, yeah, It's just like, we use this as therapy, and I think that you need yes. your friends and family and your community as therapy as well. But yeah, look, Shaq, good on you. I wish you would adopt me.
You're not
I work hard.
Money. Well, you'd rather have him take you on a charitable cause than an adoptee, because if you get adopted,
so you might want to try getting that money. Sugar daddy money than the
debt. I know. I wish I had that Anna Nicole Smith work ethic back in my day when I was young and skinny. Anna Nicole. But it's great. Look at how things worked out for her.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
exactly. Right, so.
So
not all is well. Even the girls from the Playboy, Playboy right. Mansion, we thought they all had it made and whatnot, turns out not so much. So the graph isn't always greener, even if you've got $400 million, right? It's like, okay, fair enough. Now we're gonna do one more, and this is usually something that I would save for a regular show, but sometimes there's beautiful words.
Meatball.
That need to be shared.
That's an
M word.
It's an M word.
It's mum related again.
It's what related?
It's mom related again.
Sorry.
Okay.
For some reason.
It's down to memories. Memories that mums like to keep. I'm sure, Katie, you're a parent of boys, and some people collect, teeth and rah rah rah, and locks of hair from first haircuts and rah 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 rah. Yeah.
Yep. Yes, I have their first.
Here's something a little bit out of the box, quite literally. A former UK X Factor contestant and singer/performer, Stacey Solomon. As a box that contains
foreskin.
Correct. The foreskins of her sons. Now, Stacey has 1, 2, 3 boys, and she's decided to keep that little piece of them.
My God.
To herself, along with their umbilical cords. Pieces of their umbilical cords.
Oh my God.
Now she's keeping them. She says that she's keeping them as an emotional keepsake for them. So she so they can understand, the love that their parents have for them and all that kind of thing.
I kept their hot.
I don't know.
I don't know about foreskin.
I don't even know about umbilical cords.
Yeah, it's just going to look like beef jerky anyway, right?
I think I saw both my son's umbilical cords for like a couple minutes because, you do the delayed clamping and all that. So I I saw it like then, but never saw it again after that.
No, yeah,
I don't think it's an option locally.
I don't know that I'd want, Vera. I don't know that I'd want to, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this. I know you're a nurse and you're very intelligent, but I don't know if you know this, but birth is messy.
Oh my God, yes. I've said this a million times. After my GYN rotation, I was like, why did this race continue? We should have died out.
I know, right?
It's hella messy.
Intelligent design would be a zipper.
Yeah, no. There was a lot of that
came it is out. Baptism. And,
By
it's fire, just, man.
No. Don't want to save most of that.
No. I thought you were going to confess that you didn't like blood.
I also don't like blood. So that was actually a lot for me. Putting this bloody baby out of my chest, that was a lot for me. But I was so tired. I find
OBGYN nursing. Oh God.
No.
And I was present at the birth of both my niece and my nephew. You know, no, I've been in GY, OBGYN rotations. I've seen it all.
It's gross. Bleh. It's gross. And, you know, and by the time they're like, it exits and they put it on your chest for you to see and hold for the first time, you're just like,
slimy.
So gross. I'm too tired to fight it.
The fight. I've given up the fight. Take me now, Lord.
Well, I think I even said to Kyle, I'm like, this is gross.
It is so gross. Yeah. Childbirth is awful.
I said, I honestly think those were my first like words with Grayson, where like, oh, he's so beautiful. This is so gross.
I know. At least clean him off a little first.
Clean him up first.
Yeah, see, D is my girl.
I'm pretty sure that was it. He's so beautiful. This is so gross.
Clean him up first.
He's so beautiful. Bring him to me when he's 12.
And you know, with Arlo, I think it was pretty much the same thing. Like, oh, there you are. You're a little late.
Get it out. Get it out and get it away from me. I'm done.
He was a week late, so I'm like, you know, he really took your time with this one kid. You're so gross.
you owe mom some alone time. Get out of me. Literally. Literally.
Just from like from start to finish, there's always I'm sorry guys, I know it's gross, but it always seems like something's oozing or whatever. Like
there's a lot of it's a fluid situation, quite literally.
And it doesn't get any better once they're up. Like
they
start oozing.
Then they've got their own mucus and fluids, and it's just not good.
The nurse who has to be responsible for cleaning up all the fluids, it's so fucking gross.
Thank you, nurses.
You've got two teenage boys. There's a lot more fluids coming your way, baby. You're gonna have two teenage boys at the same time.
That's not my mess to clean up.
The showers are gonna not stop running at the McCarthy house.
That is not my mess to clean up.
They have some long, long showers with three men at the McCarthy house.
Not my mess to clean up. You guys can handle it.
Stop it down the drain, boys. You're all good.
Not nearly as messy as childbirth.
No, it's really not. And I think
still gross to step in.
It's probably disgusting to step in, but Steve, if I can handle childbirth, I think I can take it all.
You can handle a few. All right, okay.
I think I got this.
We'll see. Let's check back with Katie in about 7 or 8 years. See how she's going.
I'm sure I'll say I love those boys, but they are so gross.
These boys are so gross. Like, so it'd be like bridesmaids. I had to snap it in half. Everything is covered in jizz.
So gross.
And with that, I think that's where we'll end our real talk roundtable today, because you don't get much realer than that. I know. It's messy. I was going to say, because if we want to sum it up one M word, life is messy, but it's better when you work it out together, which is why we have the round table. So thank you for joining us today, lovely Vera and the cautiously amazing Katie. It's been real, and hopefully we will see you again real soon around the round table, guys. Thank you for joining us, and, you know, keep your M words to yourself. Bye. 1 we forgot.
What'd you forget?
I don't know. Moist. What?
Moist. Oh! Moist! Oh!